Yeah, Jeffrey's our American whiskey connoisseur, although that's a pretty lame job really to start with.
And our six.
No, moving on.
So you in first, you, but then second. When you asked me about Woodford Reserve, and I was like, yeah, it's okay. It's a fine bourbon.
Yeah.
I was completely mixing it up with something else. I should have given you a more enthusiastic, yes, it's a good bourbon.
Oh, is it a decent one? I did quite enjoy it. After
yes. Third. It's a really nice bourbon. And I was just completely mixing it up with a different bourbon. And to be fair, there's a lot of bourbon for me to drink.
That's good. So which is the bourbon I should avoid?
I am not a fan of Buffalo Trace.
No, but that was the bourbon you thought it was.
That's the bourbon I thought it was. Yeah.
Okay, so you can see how close the titles are there. Yes.
Yes. Well, you know, after you drink enough, the titles might as well be the same.
True. Good point. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss the big stories in technology, the ones that you think are the most important, the things that no one could pass over. No Apple mentioned here, though. These are all the other stories. Yeah, all the other stuff that's going on. Joining me, I've got a great panel tonight, and we've got Carrie Holtzman, who's going to gate crash as well, potentially, at some point. Starting us off, top left, first time on the show, Mr. Alistair Dabbs. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm fine, thank you very much.
Great to have you on. Muller's been talking about getting you on here for ages, but we've obviously convinced you this evening. Thank you very much for coming along.
Well, you're most welcome. My wife is making her own way home because of this.
Do thank her for us and tell her we're sorry.
Yeah, that'll make all the difference.
Yeah, sorry, pal. I hope your sofa's comfy. Next to him, from Denver, Jeff Gamet.
You know, it's always awesome to be here, and I just love you, Ewan. You're like the best.
I think you and Alistair are going to get on fine once he starts the story that he was talking to Muller about earlier on the phone. Because I think we might, the rest of us might go and make a cup of tea at that point. Because I think you two are the geeks for that one, definitely. What's been happening in Denver, dude? Except you're in Boulder, but.
Yeah, it's okay. I go to Denver a lot, and you know, so it's just been the usual stuff: finding new breweries to hang out at, new distilleries to explore, finding new bands to listen to, and the sad thing is, it's actually cool enough outside that I had to put on pants.
Oh dear, bad news!
I know.
Windriders agreeing Buffalo Trace is vile. Jufro Jim says Woodford's is delicious. And Swamp Rat says he buys Evan Williams.
I'm not sure if I've had Evan Williams.
Oh, I'm going to clip that.
you do that. And actually, I'm really glad that you had dead space all the way around that. Thanks, so it'll be a nice clean cut for you.
Next to him, Righty Boy, where the bloody hell have you got a note for your mum, mate?
I have no one. I've got a story.
Oh, go on, then.
I've been away. I went to a faraway land, and I climbed the highest mountain. Sorry?
You've been to Suffolk?
No, shut up. I went to a faraway land, climbed the highest mountain, and then I found a temple. Inside said temple was Will Green. He put his hand upon my head. He said, son, you should only do one podcast a year. So I thought, yeah, I'll do. And then I got bored, and I'm back.
That's a high ratio for Greeny, one a year.
I know.
The only reason I've started the photo show again is because I was worried about the Greeny slurs that were coming my way. How you been, boy?
I've been fine, mate. I'm glad to be back.
Good to have you back. Excellent, mate.
Missed you while you were gone.
We did.
You, Jeffy boy.
Definitely. Beneath him, it's Camps.
Evening.
My lunch buddy. We had lunch.
Yeah, yeah. Lovely lunch yesterday. Thank you.
Yeah, and how was the band last night?
The band was great. I'm feeling a little bit tired this morning.
Well, could that be the beers, not the 4 a.m. feed of your son?
I was home from midnight, a couple of beers, several, maybe eight later. I wasn't too late, but yeah, 4 o'clock wake up then, and I suffered, but there's no way I could admit that one.
I'll edit that so Leeds Social Services don't come around and find out you held your son with eight beers in you at 4 a.m.
So the round of golf finished well for you yesterday, Ewan?
Yeah, thanks, mate. Well, the second bull did. The first one, he's drowned, but...
Yeah, that's when you topped your ball into the local bush straight off the 18th, yeah.
I just wanted to do well because you were there, mate.
Sorry, no, you'll be talking about golf.
No. We won't be talking. We're not based on the way I played yesterday. We won't be talking anything about golf. Definitely not.
Good, I'll just take my hand away from the hang-up button, yeah?
Yeah, no. We're not doing that. It's okay. It's fine. It's the first round I've ever played in 4 years, so and it'll stay that way, the way I'm going. Last but by no means least, he's in the studio with me. Muller, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm fine.
You're... Still not got mic technique right, but never mind.
Sorry.
We've had beer. We're ready to go. The week in tech, what's happened? As the first guest, Alistair, first time on the show, would you like to start us off? What story do you think has been the biggest story of the week?
Well, I think the biggest story of the week was definitely about the British trio winning the Nobel Prize for Physics. However, that's not my chosen story because I don't know anything about it.
Thank God. God, the rest. There was I could feel the air going out of the room there.
I went squeaky then.
That's right. We would have found a way to turn it around to sex. It would have been fine.
So thank God for that, Alistair. What have you got for us, mate?
My second choice was about TalkTalk getting a record fine of £400,000.
Oh,
yes.
Which, wow. I mean, I didn't like all their records, but, they were pretty good most of the time. I'll be nice. Happy if they find Bross for doing that.
Oh, they've reformed, haven't they? Did I hear right that Bross are reforming?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. It took ages to get all the band members together again.
We've got to be able to... there's got to be... We should be able to take a contract out on them for that. That should be legitimate. So I've put a link in the chat room. TalkTalk gets a record £400,000 fine for failing to prevent October 2015 attack. Tell us more.
What, you want me to tell you more?
Oh, sorry. Okay.
No. Absolutely. What surprised me is that TalkTalk are always in trouble about something or other, usually in surveys because their customers don't like them very much. They seem to have... millions and millions of customers all the time who don't like them very much all the time. And I don't know if it's the same millions from day to day. They just love complaining, maybe. But TalkTalk were out on my local high street advertising, stopping people in the street saying, would you like to join TalkTalk? And people walking past, crossing the road onto the other pavement, things like that. They're a funny lot, and I don't really understand why people would join TalkTalk or stay with them. I wondered if anyone had any ideas. It's the strangest thing. Oh, other than students, because they're given a discount.
I was going to say, it's probably price more than anything as well, and prevalence, isn't it? But, I mean, they've got this fine because I thought this is quite an interesting quote from Elizabeth Denham, who's the commissioner, information commissioner, who's delivered the penalty. She's saying, TalkTalk's failure to implement the most basic cyber security measures allow hackers to penetrate TalkTalk systems with ease. Yes, hacking's wrong, but it's not an excuse for companies to abdicate. So abdicate is the key word there, isn't it? Because, I mean, that's just do sod all.
Well, it was very much saying all they had to do was take very basic steps. So they couldn't take very basic steps. They took, no steps at all. And you think, it's not that complicated.
So here's an interesting point then. Where's the line between, Chris, I won't say where Chris works, but Chris works in a very heavily regulated industry that's got incredible security measures, most of which are the bane of my life when I have problems with them through banking. And they're overkill. They are to the point of distraction and horror just on the basis of doing it for the kids almost, where you can't stop. Cell providers storing your public record with payment information, that's got to go beyond just a single password or admin calling himself God.
Can I bring you back to Brexit?
Oh, go on. If you must.
Why'd you do that?
You reckon this is a Brexit issue? Go on.
Well, what happens when you come out of Europe and there's no Data Protection Act? Because that's what they've done under Data Protection.
Well, the Data Protection Act is UK legislation that's implementation of a directive, isn't it? European directive. There's no directly implemented... Well, there is, but the Data Protection Act is a British Act of Parliament that's an implementation of European directive.
Yeah, so it stays in afterwards. In
okay. Yeah, and it'll stay in afterwards as well, which is what Theresa said this week.
I was just wondering about that, because there's things like that. I mean, that's what they've been done under. Well, it's not as bad as Verizon. One of their employees actually sold the data. He was actually caught selling it.
Yeah, he was sticking it out the back door. Wasn't
whoops.
He?
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least they didn't get that.
Yeah, no, fair point. So there you go. That's the reason you should go with TalkTalk, because at least they're not selling it.
No. Or at least they haven't been caught yet.
Yeah, no.
Is this not something that TalkTalk probably just did on purpose to make sure they got fined for something this year? Because it seems like almost every year, I mean, just a quick Google search for TalkTalk fine. 2011, fined 3 million. 2015, fined 750,000. It's almost like they have to get an annual fine for something.
So there you are. You're sitting down thinking, oh, I must get a new internet provider. Who shall I get? Well, I've heard of TalkTalk. They seem to be in the news all the time. I'll join.
They're always in the news.
So I was going to say the Information Commissioner made the point that it's not just a matter of sticking to the regulation, but hang on, I've got the quote here somewhere. They have a duty to their customers, you know, as if it never occurred to them. So, yeah, might do that, yeah.
Well, I think she's put on the quote that I'm seeing here, TalkTalk should and could have done more to safeguard its customers' information. And they didn't, plain and simple.
Yeah, they were found wanting. They wanted to do it.
And a half. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm on the TalkTalk website at the moment, and I've just joined the live chat, and I've asked the young lady, will she sell my data? I'm just waiting for an answer.
You are having a laugh. They've got to get a screen grab of this.
And I'm assuming she's going to come back and say, well, how much do you want for it?
Because they're selling them around the back.
Yeah, when she asks you for your password, right, that's not what she means.
No. She's not replied yet, but I'll let you know when I get an answer.
Please can I have the third character from your password, sucker? And the fifth character. And the first and the second and the fourth and the seventh.
I know his password.
He's an admin, of course it is.
Admin, 1, 2, 3. Jesus.
Yeah. Is this endemic, though, Alistair, or do you think this is just a one-off and it's TalkTalk's issue and the other cell provider without wishing to breach libel laws in the UK here? Do you think it's an endemic problem with the industry, or is this a one-off?
It's an endemic problem with all industries.
Just in general, all security is not good enough.
No, it's nothing. Not just security. I'm talking about all business. I mean, the Information Commissioner made the point. It's the problems start at the boardroom, and it's not because it's a boardroom of a tech company, it's the boardroom of a company. All companies are like this. TalkTalk just got caught.
Wow.
That's scary. People just don't know that.
That's a scary statement to make, most definitely. And I don't want to denigrate the efforts of people who are trying very hard in organisations to ensure security, but is there a budget cap that... that causes the problem here, that is from the boardroom down, or is this laissez-faire, or is this just, you know, there's no need to do it, so don't do it?
I don't know. These are people who don't know how to wash their own socks. I mean, how would you expect them to be in charge of security?
You know, my guess, not knowing this company, since I've never had to deal with them, is that a lot of this has to do with ease and convenience, because if they can make it easy to work with whatever data they have, and they aren't getting in trouble for enacting better security and potentially limiting how easy it is to work with their information, well, then why would they change?
Hmm.
Chris, I mean, I don't want you to say anything you don't want to say, but you know, I mean, you work in a very delicate industry, and security is taken seriously there.
Absolutely.
I mean, where's the shortfalls that you see in TalkTalk versus your industry? Or are you just as bad?
I'm gonna say that this is probably, I think, partly in terms of the regulation. But partly in terms of the bad press. TalkTalk don't seem to be too bothered about doing these things year on year and getting the bad press, and they still seem to be doing well out of it from a customer base. In the industry that I work in, the company that I work for, that just wouldn't wash. It wouldn't wash. The first time that there was a data breach like that, it would just impact the company so heavily. I can't even imagine what the fines would run to. But I think there'd be significantly more than the sort of £500,000 talked about here.
Yeah, a Mullerbike has put that TalkTalk are like Comcast, only worse. She's going some. The one thing that's referenced in the article I've got here is that there are eight points of good data protection. Fair and lawfully processed data, processed for limited purposes only, adequate, relevant and not excessive data, accurate and up to date, not kept for longer than is possibly necessary, processed in line with your rights, secure, that's a bit of an open-ended question, I'm sure, but not transferred to the country, other countries without adequate data protection.
You and it looks like the video's gone.
Yeah, no, I've switched it off because it said that I can't stream to the server for some reason. But the show's still running, just not with, it's without the plebs. Just, they'll find that out when they download it. I didn't mean it, guys, sorry.
I'll slip into my pyjamas then.
I love the fact.
Do you think with TalkTalk, it's a case of the old Ryanairs, is that there's no such thing as bad publicity?
Could be, yeah. I think that's a good point.
It's the point. It was that, you know, they still seem to have so many customers despite all the bad press.
Yeah, and no, it is.
People really go, oh, well, yeah, if they made all their mistakes, they'll be all right now. Or, oh, I've heard of them. Well, I'll join them.
Someone's talking about you, whether it's good or bad, and your name is on their lips, and people remember negative more than they remember positive. I think there's a good point to that.
I mean, I don't think it's quite as bad as Ryanair, because Ryanair actually make the stories up, don't they? Most of them aren't true. You know, right. Putting toilets on the wings and stuff like that. It's just there to get in the page.
So they put Samsung tablets down the chairs.
Keep your hands warm. Yeah.
You know, along those lines, have you seen the new mod for Grand Theft Auto, where you can go into the gun shop and buy bombs with their Samsung phones?
No, are you serious?
God, it is crazy. And the videos that I've seen are just too funny. You know, like a guy in a suit walking around the streets throwing Samsung phones at cars, and they hit the cars, and the cars blow up and flip over, and
brilliant.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got an update from TalkTalk.
Oh, come on.
So I said, if I joined TalkTalk with some information, and Zamawoski, who I'm talking to, said, can you please elaborate on your query?
Ah. Well, go on then. Ooh, just put that link in and just say, just read this, very interested.
Yeah, good point.
Come back and say, look, could you contact me in 2 years when Brexit is completed?
just read this.
I'm sorry, sir, you're not from the Russian Federation or from a Saudi Arabian state, therefore I'm afraid we can't sell you the data.
I'd be worried if they said, yes, of course, download the PDF for the instructions.
Yeah, all your data's here. Yeah. Just hold it there, fellas, because we've got something going on with the server that I can't, the streaming
server.
It's
probably on TalkTalk, isn't it?
It probably is on TalkTalk. That's a good point, actually. One more time, let's try, and it's, no, it's blinking at me. It's not happening. Oh, dear, dear, dear.
Don't go on to Alpha Geek. I've started Alpha Geek.
No, because the feed just gets cribbed by Alpha Geek, so it's not going to help.
That's broke as well.
Well, no, we're broke, and Alpha Geek just looks at what we're breaking. So, Paul Wheatley, live service.
Do we need to put another quarter in the internet?
Yeah, no, it's not that. I think it's the live servers suddenly decided that it's had enough. For no good reason.
Would the joke have been funnier if I said, do we need to put another tuppence in the internet?
Well, no, because there hasn't been a tuppence since the 60s, so.
I really need to get up on my UK currencies, don't I?
Most of the kids in the UK think that tuppence was a dead rapper.
he tells me that link's not working for him. The link you've sent me is not working. Oh, okay, I'll send you another one.
Okay.
I'll send the Google TalkTalk Vine.
It might just turn around and say, which fine specifically are you talking about?
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Can you narrow it down? I have to do it without the chat room, so stuff them. We can't do anything about it. The hell with them. Who's got the next story then? Good story, Alistair. Well done, mate. Top fine opener. Who's going next? Oh. He's going to stick it in. Jeff, Camp stuck it in the chat room just to piss him off even more. okay, Google. Will it win the AI wars?
Yeah, so this is... We're going to touch on OK Google, but really it's about we are absolutely moving into the world of AI now. So obviously in the last few days, Google have had a massive product launch, and right at the heart of a number of those products is Google Assistant. So we've got Google Assistant out there. We've got Amazon's Alexa. We've got Siri, as we know. Samsung are reportedly in the process of purchasing Viv, who were the original creators of Siri. Yes. We've got Cortana, we've got IBM's Watson. All of these AI engines are all out there, and they're getting better from certainly some of the reports I've seen, and just one or two of those platforms that I've used. And it just kind of makes me think now, I do really now see a time when actually we can probably move out away from some of our devices having screens. I can even see something like the phone of the future not having a screen, it purely being based on AI, purely talking to it, maybe have some headphones type thing, so obviously you can hear back. But actually we're going to probably move totally away from the way that we consume information, and AI could be a massive driver for that. So I just wondered what you guys thought.
I mean, AI is still not the finished article by any stretch of the imagination. We're certainly not up to even some simple stuff. I've just said on the Mac show that having Alexa has been great. I've been impressed with it, but I've got frustrated in it very quickly when I've moved into it. And it's also made me realise just how crap Siri is in terms of a user interface. Yes, it recognises what I say, but it doesn't, you know, I'm driving my car. Alexa, can you tell me the sum of two numbers? And it tells me it. Whereas if you look at, say, can you tell me who is the President of the United States to Siri, she just gives you a link to click to Wikipedia or something like that. And that's no good when I'm driving.
Does she really?
Yeah. Well.
I'm going to find out right now. I had no idea.
No, Siri falls over very quickly in terms
of... Hey, Siri, who's the President of the United States?
Let me check on that.
Come on, Siri.
Here's an article you may find interesting.
Yeah.
From January 20, 2009 to present.
Yeah, she shows it on screen, but doesn't actually say Barack Obama.
Whereas if you look at the little video that they've put together for the Google Pixel, and more importantly, the Google Assistant part of the Pixel, it does say on there, it was a BBC article that I saw, a BBC demo, and somebody said, who is the UK Prime Minister? And it says Theresa May. Then the next question, and how old is she? She's 60 years old, as Google Assistant comes back with. And that's really interactive, really quick. Admittedly, it's a bit of a promo type scenario. There might well be loaded questions, but the difference between Siri and certainly Google Assistant looked massively different. And in the past, you've commented on how well Cortana does in comparison to Siri as well.
In terms of recognition, Cortana's better than Siri. In terms of UI feedback, Alexa's better than Siri, although there are some shortcomings with Alexa. And there's an awful lot that's really bothered me about Amazon releasing the Echo. I think they've only pushed it ahead of time to beat Google Home. There's so much of it that's unbaked. It's, you know, there's no interaction with the if this then that. There's, you know, complete interaction ready out of the box with all Belkin products. Yeah, only the Einsight switches. It doesn't work with the lights, and there's no workaround for it unless you can go through if this then that, which you can't because it's not set up for that. And there's a lot of stuff where you go, can I buy? And you go, no, that's coming later perhaps.
Oh, right. Because Alexa has has a limited set of instructions. That's why she's so accurate on a lot of things. Set in time has asked specific questions. Siri, because Apple don't delve into your privacy, they're not going to get away with a lot. I just installed Windows 10 on my wife's laptop, and if you want to use Cortana, you've got to sign into your Microsoft account so they can look at you. But then Google's got all of that data mining they've been doing for all of those years, and you're bending yourself over for privacy to get that service.
Yeah, I mean, Chris and I were talking yesterday, and the thing that sets me apart with Google Home from Amazon Echo is Amazon Echo want to sell things to me, whereas Google want to sell me.
Yeah.
And that's the real difference.
You and I did a bit of reading on that yesterday afternoon after we'd been talking about that, because it kind of got me thinking around, so exactly what is Google Home listening for, and what is it doing with what it hears? And the Google marketing sort of spiel on this is saying that it's looking for what they're classing as the hot words. It's listening for OK Google. And it only passes the information that you say post saying OK Google into Google servers. What Google claim is that all of the other conversation it can hear happening, it only stores locally and deletes after a period. It doesn't define what that period is, but the only information it passes onto Google servers is exactly what you say post to OK Google. So yes, there is an element of you can control what you're saying into Google, but over time that's just going to build up.
Because they didn't go back on privacy last week, did they?
No.
So, you know, yeah, I can imagine them saying that now, and then 6 months down the line going, actually, we've been recording everything.
Yeah, change his mind.
Or there's some, or there's some keywords that GCHQ lock onto and then download it all.
Okay. I don't want to get into conspiracy stuff. I really want to talk about the merits of AI and its ability to then, you know, voice interaction. And I think voice interaction really is half-baked in most of the platforms. But each of the platforms probably shows what the other one is missing. But at the at the bottom of the pile, without a doubt at the moment, I think is Siri.
But AI, you know, as basic as it is, it is really useful. On Friday, I got my wife a 6S, and she has it in the car with her. And when she goes to pick my daughter up, and because it's got the Hey Siri thing in there, and you can go, Hey Siri, call Hermione. And now my iPad's going, Hey Siri, go away. She finds that really useful, and she doesn't need it to do that many things. But that, like you say, that voice interaction and just be able to do those simple tasks without being able to take your hand off the wheel, I think that's enough for now. It's just hand it a set a timer or ask a simple question or find out what the traffic's like. I think, you know, it's going to evolve over time, but I think for now, for most people, it's pretty much there.
Yeah, I think now we've got more players in the game. Now we've got Google with Home in there, and all the others. There's so many people at the party now. I think this is really going to drive it forward. I think your comment there, Ewan, about everybody's doing something that the others aren't doing as well. We just need it all bringing together. It really picking up on the voice recognition and it having a fulfilled set of commands at the opposite end with some level of data protection or data confidence in there. And I think we probably get a very usable product.
But that's the problem with all services, isn't it? It's like music services. One has stuff that the other one doesn't. And we're never, ever going to get a service where we get everything that we want.
No, but I think the simple things like, you know, Siri's supposed to be a system that works in a car when you're driving, but actually Alexa, which is something that works at home, is doing a better job of running in a car effectively.
Yeah, but Siri's just a chatbot at the end of the day that has little access to Wikipedia. It's not an artificial intelligence.
No,
at least Alexa's got pretensions of that. And it seems more realistic because Amazon, I'm assuming Google will do the same. Is they're signing contracts with information suppliers, so that one of the reasons that Alexa didn't come to Britain till was it last week again while I was on holiday?
Yeah.
Was that, you know, they wanted to make arrangements with National Rail, so that you could say, Alexa, you know, when's the next train to Leeds from King's Cross, and you'd get a response rather than a link. That wouldn't happen on its own. It's not just, let's send an artificial intelligence to know everything. Yeah,
they have
to make business contracts with all these organisations to link up their databases.
But what I'm saying is I think the thought process of the UI is significantly up on Alexa compared to Siri, which actually Siri is supposed to be the mobile UI to interface.
You know, I don't think you're right on that one, Ewan. I don't think that Alexa actually has... really good AI because it has that limited set of commands it can recognize, which is not the same as AI.
I'm not saying AI. I'm saying about the user interface.
UI. Well, that's different. That's different.
The UI is better for mobile on Alexa than it is on Siri. And Siri is supposed to be the mobile support vehicle.
Well, yeah, and it's what Sierra's based on. Well, yeah. We're not like talking about Mac, so.
Well, no, but I mean, we're talking about general voice recognition, and mm-hmm. it's open fair game to talk about whatever's out there at the moment. I just think, you know, I've got more. I've had long conversations with Alexa to sound out what you can and cannot do on her than I've ever had on Siri. I'm not interested because what Siri does in terms of the way it feeds it back to me is, look, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about, but you can go here and have a look if you want. Mm. You know, I'm done. And it washes its hands of its interaction with you significantly faster.
Yeah, it's like a 1990s equivalent, isn't it?
Yeah. And I like the fact that Alexa wants to come back to me. It wants to say, I'm sorry, I can't help you there. It wants to say there's places you can go for it. It wants to say, here's the actual information you asked me for.
Yeah, it's better designed. I mean, that's the fact. But my only worry with Alexa isn't about the AI and the interface, but the actual machine itself, the funny tubular thing that you stick in your living room that all your kids are going to knock over every 2 seconds. Have you seen it?
We've got one. I've got one on the kitchen table, yeah. And I've drilled through the kitchen table to plug it in, and it sits there, and the kids actually adore it. But
yeah, no, it's just I was at the this week. I was at the Amazon Developers Day, and as usual, they had one there, and as usual, they had to say, we've got problems with the sound. So, but he was like leaning within inches away from the microphone at the top. Said, you know, buy me some train tickets.
Well, so
and you were saying, the acoustics are wrong, you know. And I was saying, well, look, we're in a room where we're all being very well behaved and keeping very quiet, and you're, you know, standing 2 inches away, and you say the acoustics are wrong. What's the problem with it? And I said, it's designed to be in the home and doesn't like the echo. And I thought, well, okay, so it won't go into any hipster flats then, yeah.
Well, all I can say is that we've got it in the kitchen and I can sit in my dining room, so I'm a good 15 feet away from it, in a room, and it's not a direct line of sight. I've got to go around through a doorway and back in another doorway. And I will say, Alexa, can you turn the volume to 3? And up to volume 7, it will still hear me when I'm in the lounge. After volume 7, it doesn't hear a damn thing. You've got to go right next to it, and even then, it's not very good. If you put it up to volume, you can say, Alexa, turn it up to 11. And it will be as loud as it possibly can. The voice interaction disappears at that point. But up to 7, I can sit in the lounge and I can say, Alexa, and she goes quiet. And then I say, turn the hall light on or off, and it works just fine. It's brilliant. It's awesome.
I saw you unbox it, and you seem really happy out of the box of what it could do, what it sounded like. And a lot of the questions we asked, it was pretty accurate, wasn't it?
Within sort of 4 or 5 minutes, it was giving me stuff that I wanted to hear. The sound quality of the speaker was apparent, but now I've put it in the kitchen, the interaction with it in terms of asking it, Alexa, can you, is extremely good. It's not what you saw in that room. So you may have a valid point there, Alistair, but as you say, you know, not every home is as dead as mine, sound-wise.
Well, I was just wondering what else it's listening to.
Everything
they
probably.
Tell me, you can tell when it's listening, the light comes on, you know, it makes you want to go, ha!
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, the light comes on when it's listening, and it goes off when it's putting its fingers in its ears, right, yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, if it's listening intently, it's going to find out what Bryony's spelling tests are for this week, so, you know, I really don't think they're that bothered.
You know, we've had Alexa in the United States for a while now, or the Amazon Echo, and by and large, people love their Echo. They just think it's the coolest thing ever. And I never got around to buying one because spending, what is it, $200 on something just to experiment with, it just didn't appeal to me. But now that they have the mini version, that's coming out in a couple of weeks. You know, $50 for that. Yeah, I pre-ordered. So I'll have mine in a couple of weeks. And my guess is now that macOS Sierra is out and I need to have two-factor authentication to use HomeKit remotely, and I have one of the Apple IDs that can't upgrade to two-factor authentication, well, HomeKit with Siri just became a thing where I talk in my place to make something happen. My guess is once I get my little Amazon Echo Dot thing, I won't be using HomeKit anymore. I'll just set everything up through that because everyone says that the voice recognition just works so much better.
It knows what you're saying. It can't necessarily do everything that you ask it to, but it does know what you're saying in general. Paul Wheatley bought the he had a Sonos One in his kitchen, and he heard the quality of the speaker on Amazon Echo, and he sold me his Sonos One because he doesn't need it anymore because he's got the Amazon Echo. And and if you're saying that the Amazon Echo's got a sound quality equal to a Sonos One, that's not a bad endorsement.
No,
because yeah, I don't believe that at all. But still, it's only two things you lose if you get the Dot. You lose those lovely speakers on the small version, and also I have to say I quite liked the physical dial to increase or decrease the volume. You don't get that with the Dot. Yeah, got little plus minus.
It is the top section, isn't it? It doesn't rotate against anything. Yeah. I've stopped using the rotational dial anyway. It's Alexa Volume 7, Alexa Volume 8, Alexa Volume 3, and it responds pretty well. I think there's a long way to go, but voice recognition. I remember a system that was a company that I worked at for location information and packets, and that was written in DOS 5, and it was brilliant. Wow. The recognition was really high, but that's because you've got 216 countries and it can't be anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've only got 216 pieces of text to learn from, but. You know, you think, oh, well, we're 20 years down the line from where I was at that project. But actually, you know, Alexa interprets and hears an awful lot of stuff that I wouldn't have expected her to. You know, Alexa, is your firmware up to date? I think I am, yes. You know, I didn't think that she'd know that. I didn't think that would be a thing that I could ask her.
Good point.
I'm hopeful, but like I said, I've hit a bit of a brick wall. I've come to the end of what Alexa can do in less than a week, and I'm just like, okay, well, if the other stuff comes, all right, I'm sold. But at the moment, I'm frustrated that if this, then that doesn't work. I'm frustrated, and the US has got it, and we haven't. I don't understand why that's the case.
Yeah, it's par.
Yeah, and then the Belkin thing, just like, I love Belkin Wemo. It's great stuff. I'm in the office on it, but why on earth doesn't it work with
is that a restriction because of Belkin or because of Alexa?
I think it's Belkin, and it's kind of a bit disingenuous because Alexa sells itself that it works with Philips Hue out of the box, and then it says it works with Belkin out of the box. Well, the inference there is that it does the lights for Belkin, and it doesn't do the lights for Belkin. It only does switches for Belkin. In the UK it won't, in the US as well it won't do the lights. So if he gets that right, I'm over the moon. I'm happy as Larry.
Well, since I can do those things when my Echo shows up, I will let you know how it works for me, Ewan.
But you can't do lights. Even in the US, you can't do lights. There's a workaround that you have to go through, if this, then that, to get it to work with the lights. But you can't do it rip from Alexa.
That's kind of a bucket of crap then. Yeah. But at least I do have if this, then that access, so...
What's the point of supporting Belkin? It'll be broken in 6 months anyway.
Yeah.
Why? You've got to be careful. We could get sued.
Okay. I think Belkin works. Fantastic.
Thanks, mate. Well done.
We love Belkin.
I love my Wemo stuff. It's in the office and I love it to bits.
I love my Wemo switches. I'm just really, really disappointed that because of the way that they work, that there is no chance of them working with HomeKit until Belkin essentially rework the switches, and then I'll have to buy new hardware.
You know, the frustrating part about that is that Belkin has been saying since HomeKit was announced, we're about to release our HomeKit compatible Wemo gear. And the last time I spoke with them and said, so when is it coming out? They're like, well, we're working on it. I'm like, okay, whatever. No, you're
not. Now they've officially announced that they are shelving it and they're not looking at it until next year.
See? No, they're not.
Yeah.
So at CES, I will rag on them yet again.
And they'll ignore you yet again.
Yet again.
Writer, you've put in Spotify ads launched virus pop-ups.
Yeah, well, I was trying to do it at the last minute because I was going to do another one about data and hacking, but I thought probably we've done enough of that tonight. But in a world where, you know, companies get hacked and phones blow up, there's a lot of consumer choice. This story shocked me a little bit, and it's the fact that the desktop app on Spotify this week was launching malware-ridden websites from their bit of software. So when an advert ran, it actually took you to a dodgy website that downloaded malware. I've never heard of this thing before, but malvertising, you've ever heard of that?
Oh my God, yeah, that's huge over here.
That sounds absolutely shocking.
Websites dumping crap ads that are loaded with malware at, yeah. It's a big problem here in the United States.
So are these malware places that have bought advertising space?
No, not typically. It's
somehow that the kind of advertising net, is it the advertising network gets hacked?
There are problems with the advertising network, and then there are problems with other servers in between where the malware gets to piggyback or replace the original ad, but it still looks like the original ad, and yeah, it's a problem. And
is Spotify one of those places where you can purchase to remove your ads?
Yeah, it was just the free subscription service, of which I think on Spotify more users are free users than paid users.
Wasn't there an issue a few months ago though where people were purchasing to remove their ads and then the company was adding ads on top of that scheme, and then people were buying into those ads that were from nefarious? I think we talked about that a couple of months back.
Yeah, because apparently they had a similar issue in 2011 as well. But it's the worrying thing for Spotify is this. You know, this is their core business. They're not like Apple or Google or Amazon, like anything like that, where they can rely on hardware or sales of other software. They rely on this music streaming service and news like this. You know, this is on the BBC website, so your normal people are going to read it, and they're probably going to go, do you know what? I don't fancy Spotify anymore. And there's so much other choice out there. This could be start of their downfall, because they're probably losing some market share to the other music streaming services, and this sort of thing is a real dent for them.
And the irony that this has happened in the same week that Spotify have announced that they're going to launch in Japan, which is the second biggest music market in the world, apparently.
Not a good start.
The company has said that it found that more than a quarter of the world's 1,000 most visited websites had delivered malware through malicious advertisements in 2015. That's a worrying stat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and a lot of the websites in the United States that check to see if you're running ad blockers, and then tell you, you know, put up a page that says, "Hey, shut down your ad blocker," and then you can see our content. They actually have malvertising that's getting pushed out.
Well, the ad blockers are actually pushing out stuff as well.
They're adding ads.
Putting blood, they're free ad blockers, but they're putting ads out instead, as well as.
But the scary thing is, normally you'd say, oh, well, if you get a virus, it's because you're stupid and you clicked on a link or gone to a website you shouldn't have. But if you're getting it through something that you completely trust, so I guess what was happening with Spotify was you listen to a song, an advert then popped up, and then popped up a website with malware in it. You're not going to know straight away either. Forever. Until you start getting pop-ups or machine slows down or money comes out your bank account, I'm not sure which. So I think it's a really bad time for them right now, and they haven't got any other value add that the other companies have to survive. So I think people have been predicting a slippery slope for them, and this is even more worse news.
Yeah, but I'm just looking at a story. Back in March 2011, a similar thing happened to the Spotify as well. You see the link?
Right. Whoops.
So it's nothing new. I'll put the link in the chat room.
But it doesn't sound like it's limited to Spotify either. They've kind of got the bad press out of this, but it doesn't seem to be their issue.
Yeah, there'll be someone else next week.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I've only just realised the video stream's come back on.
What have you been doing?
I've been picking my nose.
Oh, bugger.
Was it tasty?
Very, very, let's see, tasty, tasty, very tasty. Is that a Bernard Matthews thing?
It is, yeah.
Is it?
I'm a vegetarian. I haven't the faintest idea.
I mean, you're impressed, mate.
He tried to shoot me once.
You and Campion will have to swap. But he likes a vegetarian curry now or then.
And he's from Leeds.
There we go. Who hasn't done a story yet? Camps, you done a story yet?
Yeah, I did AI.
I've got one.
Yeah, I just tossed mine in a couple of minutes ago, Ewan.
Right, let's won't leave Jeff tossing for too long. Go ahead, mate.
You know, some people like when it takes longer. It's you know, who am I to judge? Anyhow, my story ties in with the whole AI thing, and this is about Samsung buying Viv. And I think the thing with Viv going to Samsung is, on one hand, a disappointment, because I think it would have been better served as a platform going to Apple, Amazon, or Google. And it's going to Samsung instead. And if Samsung tries to use Viv as their own voice recognition AI platform just for their phones, I think this is a dead in the water technology, which is really sad because Viv has so much potential. But what I think they'll probably do instead is try and do something with it on their phones, but it's also going to go into their televisions and then other smart home products that they have. And my guess is that they're going to come out with their own version of the Google Home or Amazon Echo, and is going to be using Viv for its back end.
Yeah.
And if they do it right, holy crap, that could be huge and actually a really good thing.
That could be hot.
Literally, yeah.
Eventually, yeah.
I think this is just a method of perpetuating the Apple lawsuits with Samsung. Because this was created by the people who created Siri, so they've bought it off them. Samsung are going to implement Viv. Apple are going to try and look in the code and find out that most of the stuff that they had when they were at Siri has gone over and it's now over there. And there'll be a patent lawsuit for Apple to take against Samsung. No? Oh, I'm being cynical.
Maybe.
Just a touch.
It's no secret that Apple and Samsung don't get along very well when it comes to patents. But considering the people that did Viv, yes, are the same people that did Siri. But they've gone through the whole legal period where they can't do anything else. You know, the anti-compete period. They finished that. So if they've already patented the crap out of Viv, which I'm sure they have, my guess is that lawsuits over patents out of this between Apple and Samsung are not likely to happen. I think both companies are kind of tired of fighting each other in that way. Although for Samsung, it's just business as usual. And so maybe what I should say is I think Apple is tired of fighting Samsung in that way.
I'm quite willing to say that I'm being unfair, but when I watched the demo of Viv, I wasn't as jaw-dropped as everyone else was. I looked at it and thought, well, that's good. That's better than what we've currently got, but I'm not going to eat my lunch over it. I'm sorry.
Now, okay, what I saw was amazing potential.
Yeah.
And if they've been able to follow through more since they did the initial announcement, which is what, back in May or something, back in spring anyhow,
yeah,
then that's really cool. And seeing it as a foundation for what they can do down the road, that's what I was excited about, the potential for Viv, not what it was doing so much in the demo back in spring.
Yeah, but you look at the Elon Musk video about going to Mars that he produced last week, and you watch that and you go, well, that's great, but I mean, that video probably cost you about 20 grand to make with animations, and you know, there's a long way to go to actually circling Mars and coming back, mate. And I'll believe it when I see it. And you say, oh, we're going to do this in the next 12 years. Yeah, righto, because I don't believe that for a second. It's easy to make concepts. It's easy to do a voice demo that everyone goes, when actually you haven't done anything yet. You haven't put it in a device. You haven't stuck it in a marketplace where people have bench tested it to death. And it hasn't actually changed anyone's life by actually getting them a Lyft or an Uber. When you've done that, then come back and tell us it's earth-shattering.
Yeah, but keep in mind, this is done by the guys that created Siri. And
which is the worst of the voice engines that there are out there.
And I knew that's exactly where you were going, but keep in mind, when Apple bought Siri, there was nothing that came close to what Siri could do. I mean, Siri was way ahead of everything, and Apple has squandered that. So yes, today Siri is lagging behind. I mean, very obviously lagging behind. But when Apple bought Siri, no one could come even close to what it did.
Hmm. But could Viv actually progress without a partner, though? Because I assume they'd release an app on, I don't know, Android and iOS, but they wouldn't have that access to the OS level to be that helpful, would they? So they'd need that kind of hardware manufacturer partnership.
Yeah, of course they would have done partnerships. But when Siri came out for the iPhone initially, it was doing everything without deep hooks into the operating system. So what Siri really gained when Apple bought the company was the ability to do those deep system level things. But the stuff it was doing without that access was still pretty stunning.
A voice management system is pointless in an app because it relies on the SDK as to what it can do. Mm-hmm. So if the SDK doesn't give it access to something, it can't. So Viv has got to get in at a hardware level. Otherwise, it's just an app that turns a timer on, same as Siri. It doesn't get anywhere with it. It can't integrate. It can't move. It can't change. It can't alter. It's just a monkey on top of a grinder organ.
Right, but now it has that platform through whatever Samsung chooses to hook Viv to.
Yeah, I see this breaking into the rest. Obviously, Samsung got quite a wide Internet of Things set of devices out there with the washing machines and fridge freezers and stuff like that. I can see that playing a big part in the kitchen, just in terms of, you know, turn washing machine off, you know, set washing machine to come on in an hour or whatever. I can, you know, when is my washing machine going to explode? I can see it being a big part on those sorts of devices.
I was hoping we could get through tonight without mentioning Amazon or Fire or Samsung or Fire and blowing up.
Viv, tell me, are Campion's pants clean yet?
The worst thing though is that they'll probably be all hacked.
You know you got to use the mic, right, dude?
Sorry.
Every week.
Podcasting is hard.
It is,
yeah. You've got to think and speak. Muller, your story. Insurers launch first UK driverless car insurance policy.
Well, there's been a few announcements. The government announced in the Queen's speech last year, before Theresa May took over, that they are trying to encourage driverless cars. And there's been a number of stories around this. Germany are moaning because the German car company are moaning because Germany's being very restrictive. And I think it's just quite interesting that it's actually now, it's actually an East Anglian company, so from right
here. Yay!
And they've brought out this policy, and there was some, that it doesn't just cover driverless cars, it covers cars that reverse on their own and things like that, autonomous cars. It also covers Teslas, if you put it into driverless mode, if you have an accident.
Sorry, mic up.
So I just thought it was an interesting story that we're starting to get into the 20th century, and I can't see the bit where I was looking for now. I think it must have been a different article.
I've made a right copy.
But there was also an article on BBC today about driverless tractors, which gets back into righties territory again. And I'm just wondering about these driverless tractors wandering around East Anglia with nobody on them. Did you see them, Righty, on the TV?
Well, they're all drunk and asleep anyway, so they're pretty much driverless around here.
Well, the one actually had no cab, so it was literally just wanders around the field. I could just wander see it one day. A slight hiccup in the GPRS signal, especially in Norfolk, where there's no phone signal outside of Norwich. And the damn thing running across a road and killing a sheep or a pig, more like a pig in there.
Yeah, let them sue.
It's a horse, isn't it?
Who's that? No.
Gary Holtzman's joined us. How you doing, mate?
Hello.
Yeah, you've come in time for the last story. You get to have a cool thing, though, and an opinion. So well done. Sorry, mate. We did shaft you a little bit on the timings of the show, so do apologise.
Well, just
Glad to be invited.
Yeah, you're here. You're here now. That's fine. This isn't saying autonomous vehicle driving by itself. This is saying that if you're using your Tesla auto steer system and something goes horribly wrong, we'll still cover you. Whereas at the moment, we go, sorry, mate, you're on your own.
Hmm.
I don't think it's actually saying we're going to, you know, it's not a total policy of autonomous vehicles.
No. I didn't say it was.
But yeah, no.
But I'm tying it into the Queen's speech from last year, where Osborne said they were going to bring in some legislation and also bring in some sort of insurance, compulsory insurance for autonomous vehicles. But I'm thinking of also about the poor guy who was behind the wheel of a driverless car in America, a Google car, that he ended up in hospital because it crashed. So where do we go from here? Where does the insurance companies start looking into the whys and wherefores? Because the Road Traffic Act certainly doesn't cover driverless cars yet.
I mean, being in control of your vehicle is going to be a real toughie in terms of... if you said that you were on your autonomous vehicle, self-driving thing like the Tesla stuff, and you admitted to that, I think they'd throw the rule book at you.
Oh, God, yeah.
No question.
It's just a...
I would like to see the premiums.
Yeah, I'm just looking to see if I can find anything.
Good point.
In the article about what the premiums are going to come in at.
They're already shekels. It's from Norfolk.
Hey, it's in hay.
I've got some smooth pebbles.
Oh, yeah, great, yeah.
Magic beans.
Bastards.
Mate, you work at Avengers HQ. There's nothing cooler than that, mate, so just tell them all to bugger off.
Yeah, bugger off.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Also, you have a great boss, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I drove a Tesla and I had a go with the autonomous mode, and it's not very...
It's not ready.
It kind of is. If you're on an open road and you've got decently painted white lines with a decent size of curb on the left-hand side, it's awesome. Once you start to get into a road where someone's parked a car, it gets an awful lot more tricky, and it wasn't stable when we did it because you had car gap, car gap, car gap, and the car was just instantly, because it's, you know, oh, I need to go over the white line here to get past the car. It was lost entirely. Like I said, if you're in test track conditions almost, it worked really, really well, and I really enjoyed it, and it was very, very stable. And it even did reasonably tight bends, you know, something in the region of about a 200-metre radius. It coped with it quite happily. Any tight bends, not really interested at all. And anything, once you've got something that stuck out from the curbside or a vehicle, it was lost entirely. So it's... The fact that they're going to accept that this could happen and they will cover you on insurance if you're not holding the steering wheel is quite interesting, but I can't see the police being as lenient.
I think this just screams publicity, doesn't it? It'd be interesting to see what the percentage increase is in hits to their website just for people going on there and having a look. I think the premiums will be extortionate on there to the point that, well, one, you're not allowed to do it legally anyway, and two, people probably not going to pay the premiums, but it gets the insurer's name on the Guardian in this instance.
Well, it does say on this article, though, that the testing of driverless vehicles in the UK has already begun and the government is funding a number of projects.
Yeah, there's some testing going on down the Stratford Road. They've got beacons set up for driverless vehicles, Land Rover and Jaguar. But
there's a big place at Coventry, it says here. Two-seater pods made at Coventry-based firm RDM are also being
tested. Yeah, that's on off-road at the moment. But one of the issues that I was thinking about is, what if you have an accident...
What are you doing to that bloody camera?
Whoa, that's a
view. Whoa.
Oh, it's your
At least we can't see his face.
Oh, man. This is bullying.
What the... Whoa, I'm going to puke.
Well, look, seeing as there are actually no autonomous vehicles available, I assume they're not going to insure those anyway. They are actually just insuring driver assist, lane assist, auto-reversing.
Yeah.
In which case, it's probably a good idea. There are probably fewer accidents with one of those reversing things than there are with little old ladies doing it all by themselves.
That's a really interesting point. So does that mean if somebody's using auto reverse, will a normal standard car insurance policy cover them if they hit another vehicle when they weren't in control?
I think that's what this story's about. I don't think it will. And I think the police will also throw the book at whoever's doing it.
Mm.
I don't think the police care.
They do.
They just want it tidied up.
I don't think they do either.
Oh, really? Okay, go on, said the ex-policeman.
I can see that if something goes wrong, they'll care, but I don't think they care per se.
No, they'll care when they can get an active prosecution out of it.
That's the CPS these days. But, I mean, who's liable anyway? Is it the driver, the manufacturer, whoever designed the system, the car, or whoever serviced it? So if any mistakes happen, who's to blame?
Well, that's the big point. So to have an insurance company say, well, we'll cover you, they're effectively saying we'll pay up and then leave the rest to us, which I think is extraordinary.
A contract for tort. There we go.
I know I'm entering into this conversation a bit late, but
it's all right.
You, and as a photographer, when they come out with these cameras that let you take basically video, and you can take any still image out of that video, and then you can change its depth perception and focus, would that appeal to you, or would you rather have full control of the camera and take your pictures one at a time with your control?
Generally speaking, I'd want to take the picture that I could control, but if it gave me the opportunities of seeing other images around that I could have taken, then yeah, I'll take it. I mean, if you look at one of the cameras that we looked at last week, the Olympus, that takes, in the time it takes you to depress and release the shutter for a single exposure, at raw level, it will take 14 images. So it's there, and that's the end of it, so I've got to deal with it.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is some of us really, really enjoy driving, and the idea of the car driving itself is just offensive and pointless. It'd be like learning to play a musical instrument that played itself. What's the point?
You've got space there, though, mate. That's the thing is, you know, you drive 20 miles and you're into a straight road that hasn't got another car for 2 months, whereas most of us here couldn't get to the end of the road full stop. I mean, there's a lot of congestion here in the UK.
I'm in Phoenix.
Yeah, no, but
I know congestion.
Yeah, but when you get 20 miles out, you've got big open roads in the States.
No. I understand what you're saying. You'd have to go further than 20 miles. I'd have to go out maybe 100 miles.
You know,
80 miles.
Yeah, you've been to Burning Man. You know that's a lonely journey till you find out where the wicker place is.
Yes.
But
yes, in the UK, but the more crowded the road is, the more challenging the drive.
I'm not disagreeing, but what I'm saying is the autonomous vehicle element of it, I think far more applies to the States than it definitely does to the UK, because it's a very different environment in the UK, most definitely.
I would agree. If I'm on a long road trip and I'm somewhere in Texas where it's flat and straight and there's just on a freeway with nothing, there's nothing to do. There's not really a lot of driving happening. Letting the car take care of that is fine, I suppose.
But that's all that the autonomous cars can do at the moment.
That's right.
It's exactly that.
They can't do.
But the idea of an autonomous car being fully autonomous is frightening to me.
I don't think that'll ever happen, though. I mean, if you look at drones, you know, Amazon delivering drones delivering parcels via Amazon. I will stay now that I don't believe that will ever happen in the UK.
Yeah, it is going to happen, but not to customers that you think. It's not going to go to people's houses. It's going business to business.
And even then, I think I'd be surprised, because the CAA have got very strict guidance on
and
line of sight.
You haven't seen the new drones. I mean, they're...
Well, let me ask you a question. When Amazon orders their drones, how are they delivered?
By drone?
No, they're not. In fact, if you were to order a drone from Amazon and wanted it delivered by drone, I bet you the box would be too heavy and too big for the drone to deliver the drone.
Well, the batteries would come separately, clearly.
So I think if you order a drone, you'd have to have it delivered by UPS.
That's not the point.
There's some irony there.
The letterbox, I don't know.
But anyway, no, just the point I was trying to make is there is a joy that you get from photography, isn't there?
No, I do it for a living.
But don't enjoy it?
I don't take pictures for enjoyment, no.
Really?
I haven't taken a picture for the hell of it for 20 years.
All right.
In fact, actually, cell phones are probably the only times that I take pictures for the hell of it. not real cameras much. Oh no, I'm sorry. The other week, me and Muller went to Longmind and we took some Milky Way pictures. So there you go.
So you don't enjoy what you do for a living?
That's a more complicated question than we've got time left for.
Well, I think you saw where I was going with that anyway.
Yeah. This podcast and all of this is brought to you by UK2. They're superb. They're awesome. They look after us. They pick up all the bandwidth. They pick up all the infrastructure that we've got for all the downloads for the podcast. And they're awesome. And they look after you as well, because you'll get 20% off a domain name. You can get a free month off a dedicated server if you buy it from them. If you go to britishjetnetwork.com/UK2, you can sign into your account. We'll get kudos for you being a returning customer. Please go ahead and do that. And if you go to britishjetnetwork.com/sponsors, there's a whole series of offer codes there. You can clear your basket and you'll be laughing all the way to the bank, because it's your money, not theirs. They've looked after us for the last 9 years. They're going to look after us for at least another 7, because they've just renewed the server for the same amount of time. And we love them to bits. Please, please, please check them out. And if you send a tweet, thanks at UKT for looking after at British Tech, that would be superb. They're really, really good. Thank you very much to them for supporting us. And also thanks to Hoya. They gave us one of the Skype machines for the Skype wall, the Mac Minis. They've got some brand new products coming out in the near future that we can talk about now. And effectively, you know, we talk about the top loaders, we talk about the glasses that they've given me to do work in the studio. They've got a complete custom fitting system coming for lenses and frames. So you will go into your optician, you'll have a digital scan of your face taken. They will then manufacture lenses that go onto your face. They can tweak the fit on the nose to fit your exact profile of your nose, to make sure they're perfect level, the correct tilt angle and all that kind of stuff. Then manufacture the lenses for them. They put the two together and send them to you. You have a bespoke set of glasses that are made for your face and no one else's. And that's technology that's here now. It's not stuff that's coming in 20 years' time. As of after Christmas, there will be glasses from Hoya that you can buy. If you want to know more about the Hoya stuff, go to podcast@hoya.co.uk. And if you want to arrange a fitting to try the Advantex and those kind of things, no obligation necessary, and they don't keep your information. They just use it for the purposes of getting you set up with a local optician. One of the Hoya representatives will be there to help face fit and do the iPad thing that you saw here on the show. And they're superb. They're superb. Please support Hoya, because they really look after us as well. Time for the cool things. Alistair, do you have a cool thing?
What the heck are you talking about now? A cool thing? You didn't tell me about a cool thing.
Oh, right. I thought Muller had told you about this. We'll come back to you then if you want to.
You might have done. Oh, my God.
No, all right. So have a thing. Anything that's tech, anything you like at all, you can pick a thing that Jeff's going to demonstrate, but I wouldn't pick what Jeff picks, however.
No, actually, this week I'm safe.
Oh, good, man. Child-friendly pick from Jeff. Go on then, mate. What's your cool thing?
Child-friendly pick. Okay, so this is an iPhone app that I just discovered. It's called Black Box, all one word, and it's a puzzle game. And so, hey, Nightshade. See, Nightshade's really excited about Black Box, too. She's talking about it. Anyhow, so it's a puzzle game, but instead of being a typical puzzle game where you tap on the screen and move something around, it uses your whole phone.
In the cat flap?
Yeah, oh, my God. I have a cat flap?
Oh, Christ. Now you've really got problems. Stuck in the wall.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know what her deal is right now, other than she apparently really wants to be on the show.
That's cool. Steve Sandys is on today as well. So
Black Box, you need to like flip the switches. So you have all these different colored boxes, and you need to change the state from what they currently are to what they can be. And you do it by tapping and swiping and moving your phone. It uses the gyroscope. Sometimes you have to cover the camera so that no light is coming in. And so it's more than just, do you tap on something to make it happen? You have to use the whole phone and do different things with the phone to complete each puzzle. So it's a fun twist on a basic puzzle game, and I like how they were thinking outside the box and came up with a way to use the entire phone to solve a puzzle instead of just looking at the screen.
Excellent. Good pick.
And I believe it's free, although you can do in-app purchases.
Oh, we definitely like that then. Well done. Good pick, mate. Thank you very much. Righty boy, what do you have for us?
Oh, well, you know me. I love like all the 8-bit games and stuff that kind of are made for iPads and iOS devices. I've been playing this game, which is a really weird name. It's called a Bullet Hell Monday. And it's, you can see it there. It's an upward kind of shooter kind of thing. I've just died. But it's like kind of Japanese design inspired. And it's one of the loveliest games. Actually, I didn't put the link in the chat room because I'm an idiot.
That's
all right. I'm out of practice. But it's, I've been playing it all evening, and it's just, it just looks insane. And you just go around just killing things and all that sort of thing. But the old morning motion, when you've got a little bit of time, you read the news, check on Facebook, and then have a go on this, and you might be done for white.
And it's free with in-app purchases that only go up to $1.99.
Yes.
You like that?
Quite nice.
Yeah. Unlock once. That's what we could. Well done, mate. Camps, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got another app. So three in a row. So there we go. Monday, I was down in London, and when I arrived in King's Cross, Google had set up a big Google Cardboard stand on the concourse, and it was all about Abbey Road, so inside Abbey Road. So Google have developed an app. You can shove it in your Google Cardboard, and you can have a little virtual tour around Abbey Road Studios in London. If you bob some headphones in, there's some narration on the app from Giles Martin. And you can have a little wander around, like I say, wander around the studios, wander around Studio 2 and 3, if I remember right, go into the Mirrored Drum Room, look at some of the mastering suites, see a bit of the history of Abbey Road. If anybody, I suppose particularly if you're not in the UK or you don't have an opportunity to go down and see Abbey Road up close and personal, it's a great way to have a little tour of such an iconic music studio. It works really well. While you're in there, there's some... or video clips or some pictures that you can go and explore, and it's a good way to waste an hour and have a little tour of the studios.
Did you say there was a thing that you can check the mic out that you want, that someone's recorded something on, and they'll bring that actual mic out to you?
At Abbey Road, a friend of mine got to spend quite a bit of time at Abbey Road earlier this year, and you see it within the app. You actually see a selection of the microphones that they've got set up in there. But one of my friends was telling me that if you're lucky enough to be able to rent and hire one of the recording studios down at Abbey Road, they have facilities where you can actually request specific microphones that are used by either certain artists or have been used on certain songs, and you can use them as part of your session.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm. Nice little app, and it's free.
Good.
So if you've got a cardboard, give it a whirl.
Excellent, mate. Good pick.
No, it's really good. That was going to be my pick, but
sorry.
It does.
I know Studio 2 very well, and it's brilliant. It's worthwhile seeing the seeing that app on the Google Cardboard. It's good.
Are we allowed to ask why you know Studio 2 so well?
Well, I was part of a team from the IEEE who put a new plaque outside the front of Abbey Road Studios in honour of Alan Dower Blumlein, who invented stereo recording.
Wow, that's one to have on the gravestone, definitely. Brilliant, mate. I like that.
That was done in April.
Cool.
You could see that from the street. You don't need the Google Cardboard for that.
Drive past. If you can get through the Americans and Japanese. Talking of Americans, Carrie, what have you got a cool thing for us, mate?
How about a 1 terabyte SD card?
Oh, I want one of those.
Now, given the healthy price tag of a 512 gigabyte SD card for about $800, I guess you can expect the 1 terabyte version to be pretty expensive. Still, it was only 16 years ago when SanDisk unveiled their 64 megabyte SD card. And their newest offering basically offers just about 16,384 times more storage than that.
Not that you've worked it out or anything.
I'm just reading an article. Okay. I'm not just that smart.
Yeah, no, I mean, I shoot a lot of video, and I use 256.
Did you say shoot?
Shoot a lot of video.
Oh, okay, shoot.
And I use 256 cards, 256 gigabyte cards, and I don't fill those in a weekend. I don't know what I'd use this for. I know that, that's generally the state of the art, and people said the same thing about the 64 gig. Don't tell me that. I know that. But you know, at the state of the art as it currently is for video and photo, someone's saying, oh, well, you could get a picture that's, you know, a 100 megapixel image. And you're kind of like, okay, so wow. But you're still not going to, it's going to be a long time to fill this.
Well, it could also be used as storage in a tablet or a portable computing device.
That's what I use it for.
It's a lot, yeah.
Pop that into Raspberry Pi.
The 512 is about 360 quid at the moment in the UK if you want it. So no price. It's like CES, isn't it? No price, no date.
Vaporware. Yeah. Well, just that they've got, I guess, a working model. It's just a matter of getting the manufacturing process down and getting it out to the retailer. So it's coming.
That's crazy. I remember one of the projects I was on, there was like a room that had full of kit. And they said, at the end of the project, it's all stuff that's all paid for. Just take what you fancy. And I got an electrical bar socket that's along the back of this desk over here that works and still powers a lot of the stuff. And I took a 2 gigabyte hard drive home, and it was massive. And I found this thing in a big pile. My eyes lit up like, holy crap, I've got a 2 gigabyte hard drive out of this. And the French firm that had owned it ended up sending a bill to the customer going, well, we didn't mean to throw that away. You can't have that. You've got to give it us back. And I'm like, well, I've overwritten all the data anyway already. So, but I was, my eyes lit up, and I'm only going back 10 years.
But yeah, it's amazing just to think about what the potential possibilities are for the future, especially with the solid state drives now. You know, they're having 40 terabyte versions working in labs. And it shouldn't be long now before the mechanical hard drive and all mechanical storage goes bye-bye, which would be a happy day for me as a tech.
Yeah, much better. Muller, do you have a cool thing for us?
Yeah, I've got some medical tech.
Go on.
Oh, where's the other bit gone? That's a bit disappointing.
You've got a medical what?
It's a medical technology.
Oh, right, okay. I wonder what you're going to show us.
It's a tricorder.
Oh, God. So Muller brought in a 40-year-old calculator a few weeks ago.
But the other bit's disappeared. I don't know where it's gone. I put it down there.
So. Oh, I have one of those.
Does it still work, though, Jeffrey?
I don't know. Mine's in a box somewhere. It may still work.
Does it work? I mean, the lights come on. Is that what the question?
It doesn't actually scan anything medical, actually. Good point.
I've lost the little probe, though. Where the hell is that
gone? I don't want to know the answer to that.
Never find that now.
Answers on a postcard,
you know,
too?
I've never had that problem. I always know exactly where my probe is and what I'm sticking it in.
It was at the end, but it's gone now. I don't know where it's gone. That's advanced medical tech. You can get it in your local Star Trek store. That's it.
Well, excellent, mate. You can't even buy that anymore, surely.
I don't know. I found it the other day when I was cleaning the house.
Well, look, it's a cool thing or not. It didn't have to be a current cool thing. I mean,
exactly.
Some things are just always cool.
And it lights up. Look, it's got a light and everything.
He's going to bring a quilt next week.
That would be warm.
It's better than your nose bag for your donkey or something. Where's my other bit gone?
Your nose bag for your donkey? Is that the best insult you can come up with?
The cleanest one I could come up with.
Oh, okay, fair enough. No price? £1.99 from Woolworths.
I don't know.
Two
and six from Woolworths.
Free with a wimpy meal.
I think I bought it in Vegas.
Wimpy. God, there's a day. Wimpy.
I think I bought it in Vegas at Star Trek Experience.
Shouldn't it have stayed in Vegas?
What's bought in Vegas stays in Vegas. Very good. My cool thing is a Kickstarter project. I've signed up for it already because I think this is absolutely brilliant. It's the Air, spelled A-E-R. And it's a dart that you can throw. But the good thing about it is you can throw it with your GoPro in the end. And your GoPro will be completely protected, utterly, utterly safe. It will still be in its waterproof housing. So if you throw this thing into the water, you're going to have the problem paddling out to get it back. But your GoPro will be fine. And basically, you chuck this thing, and your GoPro shoots the footage. And the footage... No, it's actually really good. Now, the first thing I thought when I saw this was, this is going to spin, and it's going to just look horrible when you spin it. But if you look at that picture there where you've got the two fingers, they've got like a little throwing handle with the two fingers fit either side. So when you throw it, it doesn't spin at all, and the blades are not set up to be rotational. And this thing's absolutely brilliant. Love it to bits. You can do a selfie where you just throw it straight up in the air, or you can throw it to your mates. There's a great one where they try to show how it flies, so someone throws an air and someone throws another air after it to film the air that's being thrown. And that really brought it home to me how versatile this thing is. I can go out on sites where there's trains moving around or where there's vehicles moving. I could stick my GoPro in this, chuck it across the railway line, wait till the train's disappeared, go pick it up and then chuck it back the other way and see what it got. And if it got some good footage, so what? It's excellent. The other thing is, well, the dart folds down so that it folds flat and goes into a carry bag that you get with it. The Kickstarter project is on Kickstarter. All the cheap ones, the $35 ones, €35 ones are gone. I bought the €49 one, which is the next one up, which gets a free bag and a free sticker set with it, which I'm never going to apply. And it cost me...
It's more expensive and the stickers are free, yeah?
Yeah, allegedly. But I get the bag with it as well, so that's the extra expense.
The bag's not free, then.
Okay. The bag's not free. I pay for that as well as. It charged me €61, and I don't know why. It wouldn't let me pay. It said, what do you want to bid? And I put in €49, which is what the asking price
it's
was.
It's the €12 shipping to the UK, that, Ewan. Just reading it now.
There we go. That's the 12, then. So yeah, I paid for it, and it's coming, and it looks awesome. I can't wait for it. And there's a video on their website, if you go and have a look at it, that shows how versatile it is. Mm. They've really thought about some activities that people do where, you know, they're working at height, they're flipping off something onto a diving board or something like that, and then you would throw this thing to intersect with them jumping off. It's really, really good.
So basically, I think it's poor man's drone, isn't it?
It is, but I think it was interesting. The arc of the flight looked artistically different than a drone would ever get. And there was a couple where you could see it clearly collided with the person that it was thrown to film, but, you know.
And you don't need a license?
You don't need a license. No permission from the CAA whatsoever for it.
There you go. Will be a tosser.
Not that drone users get them anyway, but hey.
No, exactly. Type in AER GoPro into Google and you'll find the website and loads of articles about them. And I've also said to them, chaps, look, you're going to be on the British Tech Network this weekend. Any chance you could get us an early review unit so we can get more people towards your Kickstarter project? And they completely ignore me, bastards.
You know, that happens a lot with Kickstarter. The companies that just have really bad PR.
Yeah. Well, the Dutch blokes. So, there we go. Excellent. Where can we get a... Alistair, your cool thing. Have you got a cool thing there?
Well, do you know, I spent most of this week at various events where people gave me lots of little spongy things, you know, kind of stress buster type things.
All right.
This was definitely the best one.
Oh, nice. There we go. Price?
I knew Steve would like that. It was priceless.
Though. Priceless. There we go. Good man. Excellent. Where can we get a hold of you, Alistair?
Sorry?
Where can we get a hold of you? What's your contact? Where can people follow you on Twitter, etc.?
Oh, blimey. Oh, blimey. I thought you were being personal.
You're Brighton Bromwich Day in the chat room with that.
It's Ali Dabs at Twitter. Otherwise, I have my weekly column at The Register, so that'll be out tomorrow morning. If you want to go to theregister.co.uk, you can look for the stupidest story for the day, and that'll be written by me.
That's kudos indeed. Thanks very much, mate. We hope we have you on again, and we haven't put you off too much.
No, as long as the video's working.
Yeah, you know, it comes back. It's fine. We get there in the end. Don't worry. By the time I've edited it, it'll look slick as snot. There you go. Jeffrey, where can we get you, mate?
You can find me over at MacObserver.com and on a bunch of podcasts like TMO Daily Observations and the iOS Show and here on The Big Show. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Jay Gamut. And then I write about stuff at coffee shops, the weird things I see people do. That's Fresh Brew Tales.
Excellent, mate. Righty, where are you, mate? Welcome back, by the way. Good having you on again.
Yeah, you'll find me at Paul's on Twitter, in the Slack room, writing again at BritishTechNetwork.com and back on The Big Show.
Good man, good man. Good to have you back.
Missed you while you were gone.
We did, yeah. Where are you, Camps?
I'm Campion UK on Twitter. What's happening there? Echo. Campion UK on Twitter. I'm occasionally on the Mac Show, generally on the Big Show, and loitering in the Slack room. I'm normally there.
Slack Matsy.
Do you are. Carrie, where are you, mate?
Of course, check out my YouTube videos, which you can get to just going to carrieholzman.com, where I cover PC building and repairs, as well as showing how to rebuild Subaru engines, make a pizza, and expose scammers, tech support scammers.
Oh, that can't be hard.
A lot of variety there.
Excellent.
But that's at carrieholzman.com.
Yeah, we need to have you back on, mate. Are you fixed for the 20th?
I should be available as far as I know. And I have to say, by the way, the set is, and everything's working. Maybe it's because I came in late, but everything looks awesome. You added two more monitors. I'm sorry, that's an American word. Everything looks brilliant. It looks like you've added two more monitors. I don't see the bleed through your t-shirt anymore. Good job. Good job. Good improvements.
I haven't got a clue what you're talking about.
Everything's technically functioning and looking beautiful. On
yeah,
the big
I thought
show.
Everything was technically perfect as well, yeah.
Up until
it broke.
Yeah.
Up until I said something.
I've just altered the 20th now to try and include you, and it's cocked it up completely. That's us all over. I'm sick and tired of it. Tech show that's hindered by the frigging tech.
Oh, I've fallen down.
Yeah, Muller's Guts, where can we get it? Someone's going to start a Twitter account called Muller's Guts.
No, they will now. Well, you can get me at Muller Biker on Twitter, and also, oh, for God's sake.
I just barfed.
And if any of you live in the Birmingham area or the West Midlands area, please come to Aston Hall, part of Birmingham Museums, and you can have me show you around. And we've got a special event at the end of the month called Fright Night, and we'd love you to all come down and be frightened. And I'll put something on social media to advertise that. But we got loads, we got actors coming in, and we're going to jump out and ski in a very dark house. So come down to Aston Hall. Unfortunately, it's by the Villa Ground, but ignore that bit. Not very good.
Oh, well, fair enough. Enjoy it, yes, and Muller will be there on Halloween.
I will.
Scariest person of the lot.
I might be dressed up.
No mask required.
My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next Thursday night as normal, 7 p.m. for the Mac Show and 9 p.m. for the Big Show. And don't forget the photo show as well. That's back now. So photo show is recording at 11 o'clock on a Thursday morning, providing I'm around, which at the moment I think I am. So see you then. Have a great weekend and enjoy all your tech. Thanks for listening.